Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Now, starting with the experience of his own illness, Dr. Ayan Panja brings a unique personalized framework to tailor targeted lifestyle-based interventions to you. With his groundbreaking new book, he joins us now to tell us about the health fix. Great to have you on the show, Dr. Ayan.
Thank you very much for having me, Selena. It's great to be here.
Now, do you mind if I start with what your own personal experience was?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I've always been relatively healthy. And I think, like most people, people take their health for granted. You know, if you're, unless you've got some sort of illness to deal with from a very young age, we don't really think too much about our health until we get ill. And I'd been really fairly healthy up until the age of just after 40, where, you know, there's that apocryphal thing about everything falls apart at 40, and but it was much more than that. I suddenly got to this point where my memory was, you know, wasn't what it was, and I was getting bloating after meals. My joints were aching. I remember being at, you know, I'd get to a give way sign, and you know, in the car, and I wouldn't be able to turn my neck left or right because it was so sore, and I was just broken, you know. And it took me about 6 months to work out my own story and why my health had got to that point. And that's what really sort of spurred me on to kind of write this book, because I wanted, because actually doctors couldn't really help me. You know, a lot of them were kind of sort of, you know, the kind of narrative I was getting was, well, maybe you were just depressed, or maybe you, you know, had some mystery illness like Lyme disease and it just got better on its own. And it was none of those things. It was actually in my own story. And I think why this book will land well with people is that it's not just one of those books that tells you what to do. I think we all know we're meant to eat, you know, five portions of fruit and veg a day and exercise so many times a week. That's, you know, we know that. And, you know, that if life is that easy, everyone would be doing it. And so what this book does is it works with you and your own personal story. So every reader gets a slightly different experience.
Okay, yeah, you are right. I mean, there are lots of illnesses, aren't there, that are hard to diagnose, and people suffer for years, like you mentioned Lyme's disease, but like chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia. But you as a doctor, you weren't able to sort of diagnose yourself, I guess.
No, because I think what's interesting is the model that we learn in med school. So doctors, we're really good at cutting things out, you know, surgically, or prescribing drugs for long-term conditions. And we're brilliant at acute things. You know, if someone's having a stroke, or if someone is, you know, in need of something urgent, we're brilliant at that. What we're not so good at is those nebulous presentations. And one of the things, you know, I'd actually turned into the kind of people that I'd been seeing in clinic at the end of a Monday morning. So I'll give you a sort of stereotype example. You know, it's normally someone, often a man actually, who comes at the end of a Monday morning once the GP's already seen 20 patients and is kind of a little bit sort of frazzled. And they come in as an emergency, and they do exactly what I just told you. They go, look, I don't know what's wrong with me, but my partner's forced me here. I think I might be depressed. My joints ache. I can't eat my food. I'm getting, you know, heart palpitations and these terrible headaches. And I used to get really frustrated. And I go, hang on a minute. This is like an emergency appointment. I can only deal with one of those things. And actually, they're all related. What it means is when you get a symptom, it means that there's some sort of malfunction going on in one of your biological systems. And that's another big part of this book. So you can give, you know, medics are very good at giving things names, you know. So a lot of my colleagues would say, oh, you had IBS, you had irritable bowel syndrome for a bit, which just got better, you know, based on my story of bloating and gas or whatever. But that's just a label. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean that, do you know what I mean? It's just words.
Yeah.
It sounds like a diagnosis, like fibromyalgia in many ways is is a sort of a cluster of symptoms, but there's no test for it. Do you know what I mean?
I do.
Yeah. And I think, sorry, I was going to say, a lot of people come away from the doctor having had all sorts of tests, still not feeling well and feeling frustrated. And I think I was in that camp, if you like. And so, you know, that's why I wanted to sort of lay this out in order to be your own health protective in some ways.
So where did you start then, Dr. Ryan? How did you start to look into what had been wrong with you?
Yeah, great question. So there were three things. And bear in mind, I've been sort of doctoring for 24 years. So I'm sort of quite long in the tooth. But this was 10 years ago. So I'd been doctoring for, say, 14 years. So still not a newbie by any means. And what we do primarily in general practice, we listen to stories all our life. You know, every time someone is in front of you or on the phone, they're telling you a story. So we have a massive bank of experience from other people's stories of health and illness. And what I did with myself was, the first thing I thought about was my typical day. And it's a really great question to ask yourself. What's your typical day like? Because it will throw up lots of habits that you're not aware of. For example, there's a case in my book, a really good one. It's a guy called Gary who's got terrible heartburn, but he's a hairdresser and he's on his feet all day and he eats standing up. So obviously that is something that needs fixing. He needs to sort of sit and eat and then his symptoms might get better. So for me, it was looking at my typical day, my past medical history. So that's really important for people to know. Like, have you ever been in hospital? Have you had lots of antibiotics as a child for ear infections and tonsillitis? Because if you have, then that might affect your gut later on in life and you know, give you a propensity to developing symptoms like bloating or IBS, as we just talked about. And then I thought about the eight things that give rise to anyone's health at any one time. It's worth you thinking about this as I'm going through them. So the two very basic ones are your genes, you know, your family history. Have you got a family history of any illnesses? So genes is one. Your environment is another one. You know, environment meaning, you know, if you're in a toxic relationship, that will probably affect your health. If you live in a house full of mold, that will probably affect your health. So your environment's very important. Then the sort of slightly more obvious ones, diet, exercise, stress, sleep. And the last two are exposure to sunlight, which is the euphemism for vitamin D, which is very important for immune function. And the very last one is historic infections. Now, these are really important. So we've lived through this time of COVID, for example, and you'll know that people who have long COVID, often in their past, there's a history of some other kind of fatigue-causing virus, often Epstein-Barr virus that causes glandular fever. Mm. So those are the eight things, you know, genetics, environment, stress, exercise, diet, sleep, sunlight, and infections. And once you lay those out and match it with your typical day, you can sort of think, hang on a minute. You start looking at it and you think, oh, this is why I've ended up where I am. So my own story, I'll tell you how I ended up there. I had something called dengue fever 20 years ago, which is this, you know, terrible virus that you get from mosquitoes, which I was ill with in hospital when I was about 19 and then got better after a couple of months and forgot about it. But that's my historic infection. I had a very high level of stress at work to do with some administrative thing that eventually went away. And the third thing was my sleep that was out of kilter, because my daughter was very young at the time and just wasn't sleeping through the night for about 2 years. So I literally had no sleep for 2 years. Oh. And those three things were enough to kind of offset my system. I'd been sort of coping up until a certain point. And then, you know what I mean? And there's a tipping point where suddenly your body just gives in and it just doesn't function. So, I, you know, luckily for me, my daughter started sleeping, so that corrected itself. I had to clean up my diet quite a lot because I was one of those people that was lucky and I could just eat anything. And I was eating a lot of beige stuff, you know, all the stuff that people like biscuits and waffles and cakes and stuff like that. So that all went for a bit. And the great thing about it is once you start to feel better, you stick with these habits. They just become ingrained. You know how we've all got friends who've got slightly not odd habits, but they've got their own little foibles. And you think, why is it that you do that? You know, and it's just because they've worked out that just that works for them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, clever stuff. And did you say as well medication can affect you? Because somebody who has been maybe taking medication for years, that can have an effect.
Absolutely, yeah. And that comes in, the environment bit of these eight factors is a bit of a dumping ground. And so medication comes into that.
Yeah.
Absolutely right. So, for example, if you're on a drug called metformin, which you treat diabetes with, that can lead to a low vitamin B12. And a low vitamin B12 leads to all sorts of symptoms, you know, memory problems, pins and needles in your arms and legs, you know. So yes, long-term effects of medication, very, very important to kind of rule out.
So if anybody reading the book does these eight things and thinks, right, my diet's not good, yes, there's this in my genes, et cetera, et cetera, can they then look it up? Is it like a guidebook? Look in your book and find out what could be wrong with them?
Yeah, so that's a really good question as well. So I realise there are some amazing health authors out there, some of them being my friends, who've written, you know, internationally best-selling books on health. So all the kind of info is actually relatively easy to find. If you wanted to find, I don't know, out about a healthy diet, there's lots of stuff out there, and it can get very confusing. You know, one of your friends might say, oh, you've got to go vegan because I've gone vegan and it's really helped me. But the reality is we're all individual. And what this book does, you know, if you read it and I read it, because we're different people and we have a different health story, our fixes will be different. So the book's in three sections. The first bit is all about your behaviours and biology. So unless you understand yourself and what makes you tick, you won't be able to control your habits very easily. So that's the first bit. Then there's a bit on biology, which is this thing about systems, so that you go through, you know, the fact that your heart and your gut and your brain and all these things are continuously communicating with each other. So, for example, if someone just comes out at you right now and just shouts very loudly at you, imagine what happens to your systems. Your heart starts racing, your gut starts wrenching, you know, your mouth dries up, you know, and that's a really crude example of what happens in slow motion over many years to your systems when they start to malfunction. And then the middle of the book are a bunch of health wishes. So all the things I've heard most commonly over the last 20 or so years as a GP, like I'm tired all the time, or like, oh, my digestion's not working properly, or I think I'm depressed and I want to improve my mood. Each case is one of those, and it gives you this person's health loop, these eight factors, which I call the health loop, which is kind of why the cover is in that shape. It's like a loop of factors that you lay out, and you'll see from those health stories of those people how they tightened up their health loop, and then their health went back to normal. And the very back of the book, which you were just asking about, is essentially a bunch of hacks. You're not going to need all of them, because I know a lot of my mates, when they got the book, they wanted to just jump to the back and just look at the hacks. It's like, well, I won't bother with the rest. I'll just look at all the hacks. But it won't work for you if you do that, because A, you don't need all of them. You only need the ones that are laid out from your story. And then you write out what I call a lifestyle prescription. It's a bit jargonistic, but I think people know what that means. And it might be something like, do you know what? I'm getting really bad heartburn through the night and first thing in the morning. But you might find by laying your typical day out that you're eating dinner at like midnight, you know, which is not good. And so all you've got to do is eat dinner a bit earlier. And there's a big concept in the book called how, what, and when. I think we get very hung up on exercise more and eat more healthily. Well, we know that it's more nuanced than that. You know, sometimes it's just a case of changing timings of things. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's very, it looks very subtle and very sort of light touch, but the effects are normally pretty amazing. You know, and after a couple of weeks, you think, oh my God, this is actually working.
Yeah, and a lot of people do exactly as you say. Maybe they've been to the doctor and they say, well, you know, I'm bloating a lot, or I'm not sleeping, and the doctor thinks, well, you know, I haven't really got time for this, it's not an illness. And people then think, well, I've just got to live with it. I've got to live with being bloated. I've got to live with not sleeping. Whereas now with your book, they don't need to.
Yeah, I hope so. And also the other thing, and again, I'm not maligning doctors. I am one myself, obviously, and I know how hard we work and how time pressured it can be. And this is the problem. We don't have the right tools for this kind of presentation, you know, where someone's come in with something that you know isn't life-threatening, and there might be a pill that fixes it quickly or certainly patches symptoms up. But the other thing to be aware of is that if you've got long-term gut symptoms, for example, or long-term sleep problems, that will have an effect on your long-term health. You know, whether it's developing dementia 10 years earlier than you would have done, because, you know, we're all at some point, not to sound morbid, obviously all of our lives come to an end at some point, you know, and I'm not sort of talking about living forever or anything like that, but if I was to get Alzheimer's, I'd rather get it at 80 than at 60, do you know what I mean?
Of course.
And I think that's the point. And so by doing this, I'm hoping that it just sort of, you know, you can listen to your body in a way and think, hang on, there's something going on here. Let's just make a few adjustments and see what happens.
Yeah, because it is no one size fits all, does it? I mean, I get people on the show talking about different diets and it guaranteed to work. But, you know, Weight Watchers could work for one person and not another. And cutting out carbs could work for one person and not another, because we're all different, aren't we?
Exactly. And I've made it really simple in the book as well. So when talking about that point, you've brought up a really good example. In terms of whether a food suits you or not, rather, because a lot of people ask me about intolerance testing and, you know, or maybe I'm intolerant to this or that. One of the things I recommend in the book, and it's not for everyone, but if you feel, you know, rubbish after eating a certain food, it's common sense. It's probably not agreeing with you. The whys and wherefores of what, you know, why it's not agreeing with you are almost irrelevant. And one of the things I recommend is a 21-day elimination diet. So the common ones that crop up are, to, you know, milk and wheat. People often find that they sort of start to feel bloated after, you know, they get to a certain age, and actually every time they sort of drink a cup of tea with milk in or whatever, they tend to get a lot of gas or diarrhea. And you know, they sort of go, well, am I allergic to milk, or am I lactose intolerant, or am I, you know, is it the protein that's upsetting me? Well, in a way, you know, it's great if you want to get some advice on that from a medical person, but actually, why don't you just try off it for a bit and see whether you feel better? And gradually you'll work out what the best diet is for you, because as you said, you know, there's no one best diet, it's what works for you. And that's why, you know, your twin brother or sister or whoever might, you know, get on really well with eating berries, but you might find that they give you a lot of gas. Do you know what I mean?
Sort
of, you've got to just cut your cloth for yourself in a way.
Exactly. And thank goodness we are all different.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, for our listeners, the book is called The Health Fix, Transform Your Health in 8 Weeks. It's by Dr. Ayan Panja, who we're chatting to now, and we're selling it right now in our bookshop on our website, tre.radio. Dr. Ayan, do you have a website as well?
Actually, do you know what? I've got a Linktree link. You know how that just gives you everything?
Yeah.
So it's Linktree Dr. Ayan Panja, or I'm on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. You can find me quite easily, really. And I also talk about a lot of the concepts in the book on my podcast called Saving Lives in Slow Motion, which is kind of like a euphemism for what I think GPs ought to be doing and what we try to do. I don't think there are that many people with my name out there, so I'm quite easy to find.
Well, it's been a delight to chat to you. Very informative. Thanks for being with us on the show today.
And you, Selena. Thanks so much for having me.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye. Bye.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of network speed. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.